Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord helped us. Amen. He's here. Praise our God. And what a privilege it is. What a blessing. Oh, we don't know from one day to the next. And you know, every day that the Lord gives us is a blessing from the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we begin here tonight. Now we're going to ask the Lord to move. Praise the Lord. He knows. I did get to just chat a little bit with a little lady that lives on Stone Street as I was walking over here, and I told her I would pray for her. So let's go before the Lord. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know He knows how to get a hold of a person's heart. I know He knows how to turn people around. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again for this opportunity, for these moments, Lord. Oh, God, we thank You that You've given us this privilege to gather together in Your name, oh, Lord, knowing that You would be in our very midst, oh, God. And Lord, I just pray, oh Lord, that You would be with Your people, be they far, be they near, Lord. Oh God, You know how to help us. You know how to sustain us. You know how to keep us. Lord, You know how to talk to our hearts. And I pray, oh Lord, that You talk to our hearts tonight. I pray, oh God, that there would be a move of the Holy Ghost, oh Lord Jesus. Oh, we need You in these perilous times. Oh, we need You, Lord. I pray that Thy presence would come down. Oh, God, that You would meet the needs of Your people, Lord, that You talk to every heart. Oh, God, You know those, oh, God, who are desperate. Oh, God, who have unspoken requests. God, who have great needs to be healed. Or, oh, God, even, oh, Lord, to be delivered. I pray that You would move here tonight. I pray that You would save here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that these words would fall, oh, Lord, on ears that can hear, Lord Jesus, and that You would move by Thy Spirit, Lord. And I do pray for that woman, Lord, that I passed tonight and chatted with, Lord. I told her I would pray for her, Lord. And You know, oh, God, what needs to be done, Lord. I pray that You would touch her, Lord. I pray that You would move in her. I pray, oh, Lord, that She would feel the effects of this prayer, Lord. Oh, God, for I give it to Thee, Lord. Know that You can touch, that You can save. Oh, God, that Your hand is stretched out yet in mercy. We thank You, Lord Jesus. We ask You to move, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, You know, oh, God, how to make Yourself known, Lord. Oh, God, against all the vain religions of man, Lord. Oh, God, all the traditions, all the things that keep people in bondage. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would move, Lord. Oh, God, for we need a move of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. I pray that You would deliver, that You would save, that You'd answer the cries of Your children. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that Your presence would come down, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I ask You to move, Lord. I ask You to touch Doug tonight, Lord. He needs a touch from You, Lord. Oh, God, he needs a real touch, Lord. I pray that You would save him and deliver him, oh, Lord, and heal his body, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, by the power of the blood, Lord, help Your children, Lord. Help Brother Joe, Lord, oh, God, with his infirmity. Help him, oh, Lord, to be able to rise up and walk, oh, Lord, as he once did. And, oh, God, continue, Lord, with his chores. Lord, I pray that You'd help him, Lord. Pray that You'd help Mackenzie tonight, Lord. I pray that You'd heal her completely, Lord, and deliver her, Lord, from that fatigue and everything else, Lord, that might be a hindrance. Oh, God, Thou knowest, and I thank You, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd work here tonight. Oh, God, lift Your people up. Oh, God, put them into heavenly places with You, Lord. Let Thy will be done, Lord, that this word go forth with boldness and Thy authority, with Thy anointing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I know I can't do anything without Thee, Lord. I pray that You'd use this message in Jesus' name. Help us, Lord. Make us what we ought to be. Help us to get to that higher ground. Oh, God, give us eyes of faith and help us, Lord, for we need You, Lord. Meet the needs of Your people, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our wonderful God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. This has been a year of challenges.
Yes, and you know, in days of old, and maybe not that old, you know, I mean, 40 years ago wasn't that long ago, to tell you the truth. 60 years ago isn't that long ago either. But I'll tell you, you know, not too long ago, people had a greater fear and respect for God and His commandments. It just seems that even though people may have not known the fullness of the gospel in many ways, yet they knew enough to fear God. And yes, to keep His commandments. That was something that was clear. But now we're living in a time of lawlessness in a great way. And, you know, we've just seen what happened in Seattle. And as they had closed off that 6 square blocks. And, you know, how the anarchists had arisen in that area. The Antifa agents and everybody else. And how they caused great chaos and destruction. Oh, yes, and great problems. I heard one report that said it was like Sodom and Gomorrah, what was happening behind that blockage. And oh my, God knows. I thank God that it's now dismantled, as far as I know, from what I heard. But I don't know. I pray that this is not just a sample of things yet to come, where many are calling to dismantle the police and, oh, yes, opening their arms up to another system, another communistic, socialistic type of mentality. But, oh, my, if men and women and boys and girls would only fear God and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. That's the title of my message here tonight. Fear God and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. Oh, how different it would be if there was that respect for God's word like it ought to be and for God's ways. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just turn here to some familiar portions of Scripture. Let's look at Proverbs here. Praise the Lord. Okay. Things are turning slow at the moment. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs, the first chapter in verse 8 here. It says in verse 7, let's go to 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let's turn to Psalms 111 here. Verse 10 here in this psalm here. It's similar. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. And if we go to the 8th chapter of Proverbs here, we have a definition of the fear of the Lord, I would say. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. I believe this scripture here in Proverbs 8, verse 13 tells us how God looks at this situation. Oh, yes, He's looking for people that would fear Him. And as we read there in that 111th Psalm and in also the first chapter of Proverbs, we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But here it tells us, if that fear of the Lord is within our being, then it would be within us to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, the things that the Lord hates. And he went on to say, the froward mouth do I hate. And oh yes, froward refers to that which is stubbornly rebellious, not easily controlled, very contrary, perverted even, and yes, something that isn't according to God's ways, obviously. Froward, very willfully stubborn, amen. So here we have it, you know, and we know that God hates those things that, you know, I come before him and you know, come against that respect and that fear for Almighty God. He's put it within each of our hearts, that little spot that he's reserved for himself. And with that comes this deep respect for God, this understanding of who he is, and the awesomeness of his power and his might. And oh yes, we call it fear, because oh my, we know that if we don't heed his commandments, if we don't do his will, that there's nothing but judgment forthcoming. And I must thank the Lord. I know the night the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. Actually, the night I actually yielded to the Lord, I repented, and yes, he even filled me with the Holy Ghost that night. But I'll tell you what, it was a message on the lake of fire. It was a message on hell. And I'll tell you what, it put something within me. It put a fear of God deep within. And at that point, I knew that I had to get right with God. I had to fear the Lord. I had to turn from my willful stubbornness and disobedience and all that I was doing that was contrary to the will of God. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank God that he got a hold of my attention. Oh, praise the Lord for that. I know last week we talked a little bit about that assignment that King Saul had. Oh, he was already in jeopardy because he'd already made some definite mistakes and the pride and arrogancy of his heart and even rebellion was apparent at that point. And he was given that assignment there in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. And of course, you know, God was trying him. He was giving him an opportunity to obey that precisely and exactly. And the thing is, you know, it seems, at least he said, he listened to the people. And he saved the very best instead of utterly destroying every one of them and also their animals, their creatures. He kept the best. And he kept the king, Agag. And you know, it was, you know, showing where his heart was. Obviously, he feared the people more than he feared God. And that's a problem. Tells us in Deuteronomy 25, and we were here last week, but this short little portion of scripture, I just want to bring out a point here. If we could just turn here a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 25, the end of it, verse 17, here is the last three verses. Moses is telling the children of Israel, verse 17, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. Oh, how God remembers. Oh, how it is written in, even though it might seem like years before we see God's revenge, nevertheless, it will happen. But oh yes, there was this thing that was yet to be done. God had uttered that, you know, this remembrance of Amalek was going to be blotted out from under heaven. And they were not to forget it. King Saul was given that assignment and he didn't carry it out very well. But the thing with Amalek, oh yes, what he did displeased God so greatly. And it tells us, yes, he feared not God. It wasn't in his heart to respect God, to fear God, to listen to the voice of God. He just did according to his own dictates, what his heart, his ugly heart, told him to do. And God saw what he did. Oh, God hates that kind of neglect. Oh, yes, he hates it when, you know, people that are feeble or, you know, weary or just not able to walk, maybe handicapped, older or whatever, all are somebody, you know, just it goes and takes advantage of the inabilities. And that's what they... Amalekites had done. And yes, it tells us Amalek did not fear God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn also now to a verse here in Matthew chapter 10. If you would. Praise the Lord. And here Jesus is talking here. We start with verse 26 here in Matthew 10. It says, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." And of course, he's talking about that fear where, you know, we're bothered. We're about what somebody might do to us. And this is not the fear of God that we're speaking of tonight. But, you know, he's telling us, on the other hand, that we don't have to fear them that, you know, have an ugly disposition against us or oppose us or come against us or take advantage of us or whatever ill they do. He said, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." And this is interesting. Like I mentioned, all the things that are hidden behind the scenes, and it might seem that God's judgment waits. But just as it was with Amalek, the Amalekites, you know, there was that day of reckoning. And so it shall be. There is that time that everything that man tried to hide, tried to cover, is going to be exposed and out in the open. It will be revealed and not hid. And it goes on to say in verse 27, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Oh yes, that day when God judges this world in his righteousness. Oh my, and what else will matter? We want to be right with the Lord at such a moment. And it surely will come to pass. It surely will. Oh, there's no doubt about it at all. But oh my, he's telling us not to fear those that would kill our bodies. But no, that respect needs to be to him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Oh yes, that day. Oh yes, when those that have rebelled against Almighty God are going to be sent to their eternal destination, the lake of fire. Oh, yes, and how dreadful that will be indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to turn now to Daniel again, just for a little here. Daniel, the 6th chapter, if you would go there with me. Praise the Lord. We went here recently, but it just seemed like, again, today as I was studying, this was, again, a needful place. Daniel chapter 6. And we know in this chapter, a very familiar chapter indeed, but you know, we know that there was a conspiracy, you could say, against Daniel. Oh my, he was very well esteemed in the kingdom of the Medes. And you know, Darius, who was king, had put him over the 120 princes, and of the three presidents, Daniel was chosen to be first. He was selected above everyone else. And obviously because of that excellent spirit that was in him and the king's desire to set him over the whole realm, oh my, his whole empire, that the others were jealous. And they sought to find occasion against him, we're told in this chapter. But my, how do you find something, you know, against somebody who does everything right? I believe Daniel lived by the book. I believe he had a fear of the Lord. And I believe that he was very careful in what he did. And you know, I believe he prayed and asked the Lord to, I know he prayed, and asked the Lord to direct his steps so they couldn't find any error or fault in this man, Daniel. And the only thing they could think of is, if we find something against his God. Because that is one thing that was apparent. He was faithful to his God. He served God, and he was faithful, and they knew it. It was not hidden. It was not concealed. He didn't do it in a corner. Praise the Lord. So we know the story that these presidents and princes all got together and plotted out their plan and went to the king and, you know, made him feel real good. He kind of made him feel like, you know, there was none mightier than he, I guess, you know. So anyway, they asked Darius, King Darius, to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever should ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, say, of Darius, except that would be of Darius, that person who would dare to do such a thing would be cast into the den of lions. And, you know, they asked the king to establish that decree, to sign it. And, you know, knowing full well that any decree that was signified in such a way, signed in such a way, and established could not be altered according to the law of the Medes and Persians. So King Darius, you know, he thinks, this sounds good. You know, it kind of, you know, suited the ego, you could say. So he signs it, and it becomes a decree. But oh my, Daniel heard it, and he knew all about it, but did he alter his ways? I mean, it was for 30 days. I mean, you know, he could have put his prayer life on hold and said, I'll just be extra careful right now. I'm going to just watch myself. I won't pray like I usually pray. The king has signed a decree, and I think I better live by it. No, that is not what he did. Verse 10 tells us, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, praise the Lord, he didn't alter his pattern. This is what he had been doing. This was the strength of his life, obviously. 3 times a day, he would open up the window. We would pray towards Jerusalem. And, you know, it wasn't hush-hush. Oh, no, if you were nearby, you would have heard him. I'm sure he just wasn't whispering. But, oh, yes, in spite of the signing of the king, in spite of what had been put under the signet, Daniel went forward in what he had been doing, and he kneeled upon his knees 3 times that day, as he always had been doing, and he prayed, and he gave thanks before his God, as he had done aforetime. Praise the Lord. Of course, these men, oh, they just knew. They were watching, they were spying, and oh yes, they found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Oh, I love, oh, this boldness of Daniel, how he did not fear what man would decree and what others would think. No, he knew that, oh, this was his time with God. And he was going to spend it with God, regardless of any other consequences or what anybody else thought or whatever else they did. No, yes, they found him. And then, of course, they went running to the king and said, "Did you not sign this decree and say that if anybody, you know, was found asking a petition of any god or any other person save thee, that he would be cast into a den of lions? And is this not true?" You know, and remember, you know, the law of the Medes and Persians cannot be altered. And of course, you know, King Darius, he began to see, you know, as they told him, they had caught Daniel doing that very thing. Oh, all at once, King Darius knew what this was all about. Oh, they wanted to catch this man, and oh, the king was very displeased with him, with himself. That he, oh my, put his thing into this and all that. And oh, he set his heart, it tells us in verse 14, to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. But oh my, they waited and they waited. And you know, gang, it can't be changed. You can't get out of this. And so it seemed, according to the law. But I'll tell you what. The king commanded in verse 16, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh my, what a statement from a pagan king. But he knew something, oh my, of this Daniel that was steadfast and faithful, and there had to be a power behind his service, his faithfulness. And oh, he uttered, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." Oh, praise the Lord. There's something about faithfulness. It is so wonderful to find even a faithful servant, a faithful worker in the vineyard or whatever, all somebody that you can depend upon, who isn't, you know, going to be one way one moment and another way the next, and you can count on them, rain or shine, you know, they're going to be there and doing their best according to the best of their abilities. And praise the Lord, that was Daniel. Oh, yes, he was put into that den of lions, and that stone was brought and laid upon it. I'll tell you what, that king didn't sleep very well that night, it tells us. Oh, my, he spent that whole night fasting. He didn't have any instruments of music brought to, you know, help him, to soothe him, to help him to relax. No, his sleep went from him, it tells us, very early in the morning. He went in haste, it tells us in verse 19, unto the den of lions. Oh my, oh, what had happened? It tells us in verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" And oh, yes, I can just imagine how he was waiting to hear a response. And yes, it came. Verse 21, then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt."
There was no cause, was there, at all? And, oh, the man who served his God faithfully was faithful to him. He sent his angel, praise the Lord. He stopped the lion's mouth. They had no ability to hurt him. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Oh my, you know, there's a great reward if we can just be faithful, we can just continue to hold the fort, so to speak, if we can continue to believe in God. In spite of what's going on in the world, in spite of the opposition and all the potential consequences and all of that. But oh yes, to be faithful, to continue to believe, even when, oh my, it might not even seem like it's common sense. It tells us in verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions to the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Not pretty at all. Nothing I like to even read. But what happened? These last few verses tell us what Darius, King Darius, wrote to all the people, nations, and languages. Remember, he's king over a large empire. And praise the Lord, I think this is very amazing. You know, one man was faithful. One man stood his ground. And it altered the king. Oh, yes, it changed the key. Praise the Lord. Oh, what it means to fear God and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is what King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Verse 25, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Oh, praise the Lord. Look what this did. How it God was revealed to this king, this pagan king, by the faithfulness of one man. Oh, praise the Lord. A new decree established here that all men and women, of course, would tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Oh, praise the Lord in these statements, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Oh, even so that. Oh, God's kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. Oh my, they might be trying to upheaval and turn things over right now. And that spirit of rebellion, that spirit of Antichrist that is on the earth, that formation of the beast system, all that we're seeing right now. Yet, oh yes, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. It is a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. Oh, praise the Lord. And his dominion shall be even until the end. Oh, yes, if we're serving God, we're in his kingdom. Praise the Lord. A kingdom that is forever. A kingdom that will never cease. A kingdom that no one can bring down. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, what he could tell about our God. He delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, a faithful witness.
a light in the world. Oh, how beautiful it is. Oh, if we could just stand steadfast and be faithful, fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. Oh, that light that shines forth. Oh, yes, when there are faithful individuals. Oh, yes, who regardless of circumstances fear the Lord and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. Let's now turn to the New Testament. Let's go to Acts, the 5th chapter. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 5. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Tells us here in Acts chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And obviously, what happened here is, yes, they sold some property, and Ananias and Sapphira agreed together that they would give a certain portion of the whole amount to the church. And, you know, there really wasn't any problem with that. I mean, you know, we give as a cheerful giver unto the Lord is what we, it is in our heart to give. So, you know, it wasn't required of them that they sell their property and give the whole amount. But the thing is, they made it sound like it was. They were deceitful in the way they presented it. And it's so amazing because the Holy Ghost spoke to Peter, and he saw right through what they had just done, how they had lied. And oh my, there were consequences. God judged this one swiftly. Verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Well, it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, they could have, you know, given whatever amount, but, you know, not to lie about it, not to make it sound like it was something that it was not. So that was within, you know, their own ability. And he asked, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. And it tells us in verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. So it was a very rapid thing, and obviously, you know, there wasn't a long period before the body had to be buried. But, you know, he fell down dead. He gave up the ghost. In other words, his spirit. He was dead. It was gone. He was dead. And it says in that fifth verse, that second portion of that fifth verse, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Oh, my. Oh, this was shocking. Nobody expect God to react so quickly. And yes, the young man arose, wound him up in the grave clothes and all, and carried him out and buried him. Then it tells us in verse 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold this land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Oh my. So Peter said unto her, verse 9, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. And oh yes, there were immediate consequences here. It tells us in verse 10, then fell she down straightway,
at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And it was amazing, all these things, God's very quick judgment upon this thing in the church. This was the early church, of course, and you know, obviously God knew that this could not continue. And sometimes if there's a spirit of iniquity, something like that, it could go on and on and on. And oh yes, it could grow and hinder greatly the work of God, even possibly destroy it. Oh yes, sir, there are many works that have been destroyed by deception, and oh yes, by lying spirits and devils and other strange happenings that have happened within the body of Christ. Of course, we know, as you know, Peter wrote in his first epistle there, verse 17 in chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verse 17, he said, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?" Oh, big questions to ponder. But oh, yes. We know how it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 31, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And indeed, this is what we are seeing, God's very swift judgment on this situation. And as it tells us again here in Acts 5, verse 11, "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." But I'll tell you what, there was a move of the Holy Ghost because of it. A greater move than had been. It tells us in verse 12, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them." In other words, those that were, you know, just curiosity seekers or just pretenders who wanted to just, you know, go along and you know, maybe even, yeah, pretend to be a part of the group, didn't dare join under what had they had seen happen because of what they had seen happen. And, you know, there was a tremendous move of the Holy Ghost because of this great fear that came upon all the church and all those that heard these things. As it said, the signs and the wonders that were wrought among the people. And it tells us in verse 14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Oh, what a move of God there was. Oh, it was so powerful. Oh, that the believers were the more added to the Lord. And I believe when it talks about believers being added, I believe these people repented. I believe they turned to the Lord. I believe they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I believe they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But oh, there was this move of the Holy Ghost. And oh, they were bringing the sick into the streets and laying them on beds and couches and hoping that even the passing of Peter, his shadow, would heal them in that sense, the Spirit of the Lord being upon him in such a mighty way that there was expectancy that the Lord would honor that. And it was noised abroad, obviously. A multitude came out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, and they brought their sick folks. And yes, them that were vexed with unclean spirits. It tells us they were healed, every one. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what the Lord is doing. But oh my, as the Lord is moving,
opposition begin to also rise here. It tells us in verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles to put them in the common prison. But praise the Lord, oh God, worked mightily." Verse 19 tells us that the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Oh, praise the Lord. They may have put the apostles in the prison, but oh my, they were shortly thereafter delivered by the angel of the Lord, who opened up the prison doors, praise the Lord, and brought them forth and told them to go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So, oh my, here it comes to be the next morning. Oh yes, the high priest and his people have, you know, assumed that there would, you know, they would bring these apostles out the next day. They were going to do away with this. You know, there was enough of this. They hated what was going on. But oh my, tells us, verse 21, "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, 'The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors.'" That must have been really something. I don't think the keepers even knew what had happened. They were still standing. They were still on the post there, standing, thinking they were guarding these prisoners. "But when we had opened, we found no man within." Oh my, that cell was completely empty. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 24, "Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow." Oh no, I suppose they were just wringing their hands. Oh, what are we going to do now? This message is spreading and spreading and spreading. You know, we commanded them not to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus. We forbade them to do so, but it's spreading in spite of it. In spite of the fact we're trying very, very, very hard to stop it. Oh, it's still growing. Praise the Lord. You know, persecution doesn't stop the work of God. You know, it's amazing. You know, we hear of terrible persecution in China. And we hear of it in North Korea and many, many other places in the world. But I'll tell you what, the gospel message still grows. It still comes with his power, with his might, into the hearts of individuals. Oh yes, that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Praise the Lord. Oh, persecution doesn't stop the work of God. And it says in verse 25, "Then came one and told them, saying, 'Behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people.' Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying," verse 28, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Oh my, they had tried to restrict the message. Yes, they had forbidden them in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts to speak or teach in the name of Jesus Christ. But oh my, there are some decrees that cannot be obeyed. There are some things that we can't go along with as children of God. Oh my, no, they had boldness and went forward and continued to bring forth the glorious gospel. And how the Lord was working in such a mighty, mighty way. And here, yes, they put the apostles in prison, thinking, oh, yes, we'll bring them out, probably planning to put them to death, for all I know. I would guess, anyway. But, oh, my, the Lord delivered them. Praise the Lord. And there they were. They were in the temple, preaching and teaching. Oh, yes. Oh, the words of life. Praise the Lord. And so now, yes, they have brought them before the court. They're the Sanhedrin court. Oh, isn't it something? You know, the people that supposedly, you know, were children of God under the old covenant were the ones that persecuted them. They were the ones that hated the name Jesus, that opposed them so greatly. I mean, isn't that something? Jesus' own people hated him and had forbade that his followers would speak or teach in his name. And praise the Lord, yes, they had uttered that command. But there is no way that could be heeded by those that love the Lord. So, yes, again, they were saying in verse 28, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Oh, my. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I'll repeat that. We ought to obey God rather than man. So many people fear people, fear consequences. Oh, what if this? What if that? What will my uncle think? What will my aunt think? What will my children think? What will my mother think? Oh my, what will my dad think? You know, all those things that people worry about. No, I'll tell you what, when it's God's word, when it's the truth, it needs to be heeded regardless of consequences, regardless of opposition and those that might be offended by our walk with the Lord. And yes, boldly, I would say, they answered in verse 29, Peter and the other apostles, we ought to obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they were clear. And they told them to their face. And it tells us in verse 33, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. But praise the Lord, it wasn't their time, to be slain by the evil hands. Oh, no, there was more work that they had to do. And praise the Lord made a way. And this time, a man named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, speaks forth, tells us in verse 34, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. In other words, they left the room. And he said unto them, the remaining council there, these Jewish people here that were in opposition to Sanhedrin court, I would dare say, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up, Judas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished. And all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught.
But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Oh, powerful words from the mouth of Gamaliel. He had this understanding. He had enough fear of God within himself to tell these Jewish leaders to refrain from these men. It left them alone. Oh, this counsel of this work is just a man. It's going to come to nothing. It's going to, you know, it's going to pass. It's going to be nothing. But he knew, he had enough fear in his heart to say in verse 39 again, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Oh my, we don't ever want to fight against God. Oh, God is in charge of this world. Oh, God knows all things. God has all power. There is nothing too hard for our God. We serve the mighty one, praise the Lord. And yes, if we're in the kingdom of God, we're in a kingdom which cannot be destroyed. Praise the Lord, as Daniel was told in that second chapter of Daniel. Oh yes, as Jesus also affirmed, oh yes, in his teachings. Oh yes, praise the Lord, a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Oh, many people try. They actually are in their opposition, in their resistance to the gospel, in opposition to God. They are actually fighting against God. And praise the Lord, what Gamaliel wisely said appeased this council. It tells us in verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, we ought to obey God rather than men. Oh, yes, there is a fear of God. He is the righteous judge. And all of us one day are going to stand before him and give an account of the deeds which were done in our body, all that which we did in our lifetimes. We're going to have to stand before God. And oh my, we know the one that we need to fear and keep his commandments. It's God. It's not man. And praise the Lord. Oh, the decree of man did not stop the apostles from teaching the wonderful works of God. That did not stop them from preaching and praying in the name of the Lord Jesus. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, a kingdom that cannot be removed. Oh, praise the Lord. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it, Jesus said. Praise the Lord. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're in an everlasting kingdom. A kingdom, oh yes, oh, that began there. Oh yes, after Jesus ascended. And actually one that he was bringing forth even while he walked this earth. But oh yes, one that continues through the corridors of time. Oh yes, it's a spiritual kingdom. Oh yes, it's one that you can't see, you know, as visible, you know, with a, you know, an army and all that sort of thing. You know, a precise kingdom that can be seen with eyes on this earth anyway. But oh my, it's an everlasting kingdom that never will be destroyed. Oh yes, oh God's people who will reign as kings and priests unto God, oh, for all eternity. Oh yes, in a kingdom that will go on and on and on. Oh yes, the city that the Lord has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, what a beautiful opportunity. What a beautiful hope we have in the Lord Jesus. Oh, if we could just live to that, to fear God and keep His commandments. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're going to that city where the Lamb is the light.
Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the great need to fear God and keep His commandments and obey His voice and serve Him and to cleave unto Him was brought forth by Moses too. We just look at a few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Oh, there's an emphasis here. Verse 1 says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. Oh yes, oh yes, if a prophet would rise and even do signs and wonders, but yet say, let us go after other gods that are not gods and let us go serve them. Oh my, well, it's a test, just a test. And yes, the command is not to hearken unto the words of that prophet. And then at that point, yes, such one was to be stoned. But oh yes, it was a test. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Yes, verse 4 again, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. And then he went on to say, you know, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And in another instance, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou, nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine own hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. Oh my, how this strikes a nerve, even if it would be a loved one. Oh yes, oh, the admonition was not to give heed, oh, not to run after that counsel, not to run after their gods, not to give heed. And oh my, and if it was one out of the cities, the same sort of response was required. But the point is, God has expectations of His people that we would love Him with all our heart and with all our soul, that fear of the Lord would be such that it would prevent us from going astray, from serving other gods, and giving vigilance to any other source. Oh my, there's such a need to fear the Lord and to keep His commandments. And although we would not stone a person, we're not under that law at this point, yet there is a great need that we run not after them. Oh no, there is a need that at times we must separate ourselves from those that oppose the doctrines that are given to us, the glorious gospel that has been established in the Word of God. And we are living in a time
a time when so much has gone amok. It's a time when so few churches really preach the unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many have given heed to spirits of devil, erring spirits, even though it might have seemed like a good man, like a prophet even, declaring it or bringing it forth. Yet, if it was not of the Word of God, if it was not the counsel of God, then it was not to be listened to. But oh my, in this world that we live in, we know that, oh yes, as Paul warned in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, he's just talking about those that come, even as an apostle. Oh yes, that they are deceptive spirits in those cases if they are not bringing forth the true Word of God. If we look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Oh my, what Paul saw. He saw a lot of deception. He saw a lot of those that were pretenders. They were hypocrites. And oh yes, teaching another Jesus, bringing about another way, adulterating the true gospel. Oh yes, that had been given to them by the mouth of God. Oh my, if they were seeing it then, what are we seeing now? So much has happened. So many, oh yes, would just rather have an easy believism gospel, and you know, I'm just not truly be told to repent and to get right, to bend the knee to God and serve the Lord only. So many things have come into the churches, even things that are witchcraft, that are occultic. Oh, things that people, oh yes, have given heed to, they're not of God by any means. That's the world that we live in, because, oh yes, so many would rather have their ears tickled and believe that they're all right, to believe that all is well, when in fact that is not the case. But oh, how it is. How we need to give heed to God, how we need to fear God, how we need to keep His commandments above all else. Oh, how we need to be careful of those that we put our trust in. Oh my, because yes, God's Word has not changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is God, and He changed not. And that which He brought forth on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached it, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Oh, praise the Lord, that message has not changed. Praise the Lord, that true Word of God has not been altered. Oh yes, by Almighty God, it hasn't changed, yes, to appease the people of the hour. Oh yes, with the traditions that are now current. Oh yes, with the trends of the time. No, God doesn't change. He doesn't bend to the trends of men, to the thinking of men. Oh, the eagles of men. He doesn't change His mind and alter His way because of the times and the thoughts of man. Oh my, no. Such a need we have to fear God and keep His commandments. Oh yes. Oh yes. The beginning of wisdom. Oh yes.
We know that that is the fear of God. If you don't fear God, then oh my, how can you begin to have wisdom? Oh yes, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of God. You know, everything else, if it's not based on God and His Word, is then in error. Oh, it's not going to stand. It's not on a solid rock by any means. But all praise the Lord. I believe God is going to have a people, oh, who do fear Him, that do keep His commandments, that do walk in His ways. And I believe, you know, if we conclude this message here tonight with the words of Solomon as he concluded his book of Ecclesiastes. Oh, yes, Solomon, oh, yes. Oh, I had all this wonderment. Oh, what is life all about? You know, how should I go about it? He had wisdom, but oh, so often he fell into strange ways. But oh my, in searching his heart, this is what he concluded here. So we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Here they are. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, that need, yes, to fear God and keep His commandments, the conclusion of the whole matter. Oh, yes. The need to have that respect to God, to give Him that credence, to give Him the glory, to give Him the praise. He's due it. He is the mighty God, and we need to fear Him. Oh, yes, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Oh, yes. And yes, to keep His commandments. Praise the Lord, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Oh, I'm so thankful the Lord deals with our hearts and helps us as we walk this earth. Oh, praise the Lord that He put it within us, that very essential need to fear God, to respect Him, to revere Him, to reverence Him. Oh, yes, with all of our being, to such an extent that we would fear to go astray, to walk another way, to serve other idols, to live another manner of life. Oh, thank the Lord. If you put that within our heart, what a blessing. I pray that everyone will give, oh, ear to the words of life. Amen. That need to fear God and keep His commandments. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your wonderful Word. Thank You for what You have written. Oh God, help us as we walk this life. Oh God, put it within us to not stray. Oh God, not to never bow the knee to Baal, Lord, or give heed to false doctrines. Oh God, the whims of man. Oh God, oh, the fear of man, let it not be in us, Lord. But let us fear You and keep Your commandments. Let us walk with You, Lord. Oh God, holy before Thee, Lord. Oh God, right before Thee, Lord, giving our hearts, oh, our minds over to Thee, Lord. Help us, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that You would work tonight in a very real way, Lord Jesus. Oh, let Thy word go forth, oh Lord, and work in our hearts. Oh Lord, work in Jesus' name, I ask, in the power of the blood. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen. The whole duty of man. Praise our God. Amen. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. We praise You, Jesus. Thank You, God. Praise Your holy name, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank You, God. Oh, thank You.
praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnal to number 57 and sing Trust and Obey, number 57. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, but His smile quickly dries it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sign or a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repair. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. we're only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, everyone, stay strong in the Lord. Be safe out there and have a blessed night. Praise God.